be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. My Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, in the first reading with St. Paul in the synagogue of Antioch in Pisidia, we see the second of what would be three parts of this great homily he gave. We're able to learn a lot about the new evangelization from it. Yesterday we had the first 13 verses. Today we have the middle eight. And for your homework, you'll have the last five, because the church, for whatever reason, doesn't give it to us, even though it's great. And what do we see? St. Paul's whole preaching style, he begins with the aspirations of the Jewish people. They're longing for a Messiah. That's the first of four steps. Second, Jesus came as that long-awaited one. Third step, they rejected and killed him, but that wasn't the last word. God raised him from the dead. And then fourth, now we all have to choose, because he's here risen. That's the pattern that he always took with the Jews. It's likewise the pattern you'll see that he took essentially with the Gentiles, with different categories, when he was there at the Areopagus in Athens. He starts with their longing for this unknown God. Then he says that God has appeared. Third, he was killed, but he rose from the dead, and now we must choose. And they chose to say, "Come back and speak to us another time. We're not ready to choose right now, except for a few." But it's this pattern that we should always take, even when we're dealing with people who haven't been churched at all, who know nothing about God. God has implanted with them the great longing for happiness. Happiness has come into the world to bring us joy, and we need to show that and not just explain it. We can say that that happiness is opposed, that gift of God wasn't embraced, that many people prefer darkness to light, but that that wasn't the last word. Light and life triumphed, and now it's the chance for us to embrace that gift or to keep going on our own path. In today's Gospel reading, taken during Jesus' Holy Thursday Discourse, which is the way that the Church ponders the entire second half of the Easter season, which began on Wednesday, it's all taken from Jesus' words in the Last Supper, looked at from the perspective of the resurrection. Jesus describes himself as the fulfillment of all of the desires of the Jews and of the apostles. The Jews regularly prayed in the Psalms, "Teach us your way, O Lord." And Jesus said, "I am the way. Teach us your precepts, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth. Show me the path of life, O Lord." And Jesus says, "I am the life." Jesus is that fulfillment of all God had planted within their soul to ask for, planted within their nature to ask for. He is the personification of all their hopes. What does it mean, these phrases? Jesus wants us to relate to him in this way. I am the way. So many people try to point others to a particular path. Jesus just comes and he says, follow me. For us to grow, we have to recognize, risen from the dead, he does know the way. And so that we seek to follow in his footsteps. We seek to follow him in prayer to the Father. We seek to follow him across the road to care for those in need as good Samaritans. I am the way, and we follow him on that way. I am the truth. Jesus said in his conversation with Pontius Pilate, who asked, what is the truth? Jesus replied, for this I have come, for this reason I am in the world, to give witness to the truth. The truth is, as Thomas Aquinas liked to say, the adequation between the mind and the world. Truth is when an idea that we have actually corresponds to reality. If I say it's a sunny day outside, we can go outside and we can check, and then it's true. When Jesus says, I am the truth, he is saying, I am the ground of all reality. Build on me as your rock. Build yourself on my word. Anything else is like building on sand. The world in which we live often thinks that everything else is real. Military might is real. The decisions of the president or Congress or courts, that's real. The clothes I'm wearing, the money I've got in my pocket, the secure fence and alarm system I have, that's real. Jesus is saying, I'm real. To live in the real, real world, we must live in God's world, because everything else will fade away. What will endure, what's real, what's substantial, is that relationship with the Lord. Third, Jesus says, I am the life. Not just I have life, not just I give life, but that I am life. This is the fulfillment, for example, of what God had said to Moses from the burning bush when he said, I am who I am. His essence is his existence. He is life. And we draw our life from him. First, bios, our biological life with plants and animals. If God were not holding us in existence, we'd be gone. But far more importantly, Zoe, that Greek word for the higher life of the soul. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That's Zoe. Jesus is that life of the soul. There are lots of spiritualities out there, but the only one that's a true spirituality is the one in which we're together with the one who gives us that Zoe, gives us that soul. Gives us that life, breathes in us the Holy Spirit so that we might be truly vivified. The Easter season is one in which we relate to Jesus, not routinely, but we relate to him as the way we seek to follow day by day, even in new experiences where we look like bandits and we sort of go around neurotically, sort of making sure there aren't germs anywhere. We're following Jesus even then. It's an opportunity for us to really grow, to ground ourselves much more in the truths that will remain, especially his holy word. And we recognize the source of life that he gives us in every way, the food for which we pray as our daily bread that he gives us, but then far more importantly, every word that comes from his mouth, sacraments, the opportunity to grow in communion with him through acts of love for God and for others. Today the church celebrates, with joy the feast of an American, Blessed Miriam Teresa, who was one who had faith in God and faith in Christ. She wanted to give her entire life in answer and follow through in that faith. I could give you a whole biography of Blessed Miriam. I've written various articles on her. I've preached a whole retreat on her. But I would just focus on these three ways to relate to the Lord. I am the way. She was the one who deeply sought to follow the Lord, and she stressed in her now book called Greater Perfection, these conferences that her spiritual director, Father Benedict Bradley, had asked her to write so that he could preach them to her fellow novices, which is a great confidence shown by a spiritual director and a young religious, that she had so much to say as that hidden bushel basket in her convent of the Sisters of Charity. But in that she said, holiness is simple. It's really to love the Lord with our whole heart. Not to seek to do our will, but to do His will, recognizing that that is the way to fulfill our deepest aspirations at the same time. She followed Jesus, who was the way, intimately every step, including even in her death. She had a great love for Jesus' truth. She was a brilliant young girl, salutatorian in her high school class, and she graduated 2 years earlier than everybody else. She sailed through her university studies as she was caring for elderly parents, or sick parents, frankly, and as she was doing a lot of extra service in the church on the side. She had a great knowledge of the faith that came through that holy study, because she recognized how essential Jesus' truths were for her life. And she never wasted time in getting to know that gift. She's a model for us all. Again, even when she was in her young 20s, Father Benedict Bradley, a great Benedictine spiritual director who had been doing this for many years, recognized that she had so much more to say than he could say to the novices in that community that he was giving spiritual conferences to every week. What a great hunger. We might not have her intelligence, but we should have her desire to know that truth, live it, and pass it on. And third, she related to Jesus as her life. She specifically wrote a lot about the incredible gift of Holy Communion. St. John Paul II wrote an encyclical that began, "The Church draws her life from the Eucharist, Ecclesia de Eucharistia." And all of us are supposed to be personal embodiments of the Church, drawing our life from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. She wrote a lot. I'm not going to be able to quote everything that she said. But ultimately, her main teaching was that holiness is easy when we draw it from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He comes to give us everything. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we remember that each morning, Jesus seeks to fulfill our deepest aspiration. He wants us to relate to Him as the way, the truth, and the life. We have followed Him here. He has spoken to us in the Gospel. And now He feeds us in His great Eucharistic discourse that the Church pondered last week. He was telling us, or 2 weeks ago. No, last week. Excuse me. March goes into April, goes into May with this coronavirus. But last week, just as the Father has life and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. So we come here to meet the way, the truth, and the life. We have faith in God. We have faith also in Him and the work He seeks to do, so that through our following, through our trusting in His Word, and through our drawing life, we might one day come to that place where He is gone, to prepare for us eternally. Praise be Jesus Christ.